You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. As California transitions leadership from Governor Jerry Brown to Governor-elect Gavin Newsom, let's check in with the political junkie Ken Rudin for some perspective. He's joining us as he does every Monday from the Washington, D.C. area. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, Beth.
So I think you just listened to my conversation with Gray Davis. Give me some of your reaction.
Well, I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, as you and I know, I think, or as you know, I love looking at talking to these people who gave their best, tried their best to make their state, their congressional district, their country a better place to live in. And Gray Davis was certainly one of those. He certainly was not the most successful governor. I mean, not many governors in the world, let alone in California, get recalled. And of course, that was a sting that he had to bear. And of course, maybe he's telling the truth. I mean, maybe he's completely honest that he wouldn't have been recalled had Arnold Schwarzenegger not been the main opposition, the main alternative in that recall campaign. But there were a lot of things he did wrong. And when I think of all, I think what I'm trying to get to is that California is such a difficult state with so many problems, so many things that it needs to be worked on. For the longest time, it was seen as absolutely ungovernable and almost hopeless, like New York City was for the longest time. And that you have, and then you have Jerry Brown, who suddenly becomes an adult. I mean, he was always, you know, the Governor Moonbeam in the 1970s. He always flirted with presidential candidacies. But he leaves office with, you know, this tremendous surplus, which nobody thought was possible. A lot of economic problems have gone away, although there are still a lot of that remain. And again, I think it's just interesting that, you know, comparing Gray Davis and Jerry Brown is like, I don't know if Gray Davis will get much of a footnote in the history of California governors, but Jerry Brown certainly rates that near the top.
Gray Davis said to me in the conversation that when you bring together governors from across the country, and they range from very conservative to very liberal, one thing that you find is that most meet in the middle because they have to run how people's lives unfold and continue in the state. And they have to keep so many systems going that they end up working in a wide swath in the middle.
And you just described Jerry Brown because, yes, he ran for president. Yes, he was seen as a liberal, but he didn't govern as a liberal. There were so many liberals in California who did not like him. They thought he was too frugal with money, to, you know, not willing to spend on so many social programs that Gavin Newsom doesn't seem like he wants to refrain from doing. I think the fear among some fiscal conservatives is that when you look at $14 billion surplus, $14 million in surplus, you feel that they'll spend it all. And Jerry Brown, if he did one thing that satisfied these people, is that he did not go for these gigantic expenditures. Newsom may not be that reticent.
So Jerry Brown leaves office being described often, Ken, as the adult in the room, which makes people smile because of how he was described back in the 70s when he began. How do you think political history is going to treat Jerry Brown and write his story?
Well, I think positively. And again, you know, you and I have been talking about him for as long as I've been on your program. Jerry Brown has been in public eye as long as I remember politics. I remember in 1970 when Ronald Reagan was reelected governor, he was elected Secretary of State. He was Pat Brown's son. And that's all we knew of him back then. But the fact is that whatever you think of him, he he was not Mr. Warmth. He was not cuddly. He was not a laugh riot, but he told the truth, and he was a genuine article that if he said, I don't have time for this nonsense. We are in a crisis, whether it's immigration or climate change or anything he focused on. And when he focused on things, he was laser sharp. So I kind of think that, you know, I mean, there are great California governors and there are mediocre California governors. And Jerry Brown was basically both. I mean, there were a lot of things he didn't deal with. I mean, there are a lot of things that still are left outstanding. The homeless population is just horrific. You know, the health care, there are millions of Californians without health care. It's very expensive to live in certain cities. But so many things that he tried to tackle, he succeeded when others didn't. And I think Democrats and Republicans alike will give him the credit he deserves.
I'm talking with Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Later today, Gavin Newsom will become California's 40th governor. I'd like your perspective from across the country on Gavin Newsom, what your expectations are of him as a governor, and just in general, Ken, what your sense is of him as a leader.
Well, you know, it's a great question. I was smiling when, let me just go back to Greg Davis for a second. I was smiling when you asked him, what do you see for California in the next 10 years? And that's like saying, what do you see in the future of Donald Trump the next week, which is impossible to answer for the right. next week, let alone 10 years. But Gavin Newsom, look, is different with Jerry Brown from Jerry Brown in style and substance. I mean, he may be, I don't know what these terms mean anymore, but he may be more of a liberal. And again, if he has this big, you know, budget surplus, he may talk about more money for preschools, or may, you know, dabble in universal health care, things like that, which is the way the Democratic Party is moving. I mean, you think of 2020, you think of, or when you even think of Nancy Pelosi is kind of like in the middle, trying to wrestle between the two instincts of the Democratic Party, between the new impatient progressives and the more centrist, pragmatic types, like Dianne Feinstein, for example. She's not new, but she's certainly pragmatic. Newsom has to balance those things, because I think his instincts are to be more of an activist, more of a progressive. But there are realities, and of course, God knows what's going to happen with climate change in California, those terrible wildfires, the drought. You can't spend it all on some people will call pie-in-the-sky programs, when there are other people who say you've got to save money in reserve given the dangers that lurk behind us regarding climate and the environment.
Ken, I think maybe the worst-kept secret is that Gavin Newsom has visions of higher office. I know.
Wait a second. A California governor thinking about running for president?
You think it's true?
Boy,
for everyone?
That has only happened with Earl Warren and Pete Wilson and Ronald Reagan and Pat Brown. But,
well, I never thought about it that way, that it just goes with the office out here if you're from such a big state.
Well, right. And you have to be a success. Although, to be honest, remember when Jerry Brown first ran for president, when he was a new face, this was 1976, and he was in office for only a year and a half as governor when he ran for president. So you don't have to be like Joe Biden, who's been in the Senate, you know, for 500 years before you run for president. But at the same time, I think you're going to have to produce a record. And given the fact that there are so many people out looking at the presidential race in 2020 to run against Donald Trump, while nobody's suggesting Gavin Newsom for 2020, if he's looking at 2024, assuming that the Republicans are still in office, he's going to have to produce something. And that's not always easy in a tough state like California.
Well, the truth is he will have to navigate with at least one of his contemporaries, California Senator Kamala Harris. And we still haven't heard her decision about a run for the presidency. But he does have
Don't forget Eric Garcetti, too. I mean, he's talking
true.
About it as well.
So it's a choreography or a dance that happened here in the state of California in terms of who would run for which office and when. Gray Davis alluded to some of that when he talked about his conversation with Gavin Newsom about running for governor.
Well, when you and I talked about Kevin DeLeon and his challenge to Dianne Feinstein, we talked about the getting old California Democratic leadership of Jerry Brown, of Nancy Pelosi, of Dianne Feinstein. And so, you know, you have young people and perhaps impatient people like Kamala Harris, who's coming up. And the question is whether, you know, whether the future is more of an activist Democratic Party, of a younger Democratic Party. We saw
right.
in last month in the November elections,
right.
How many young people, how many people of color, how many women were elected to office for the first time. And so things are changing. And, you know, it may have been a good thing for the first 44 presidents to be a white male. I'm not sure what that means anymore. And politics are changing faster than we know it.
Let me just add here that you probably saw the comment from California Senator Dianne Feinstein that she would back a Joe Biden bid for the presidency over a Kamala Harris bid. That was an interesting piece of news.
Well, it was surprising, I guess, in the Fed. Look, I mean, cynics will say this is what's wrong with the old guard of the Democratic Party. The 84-year-old senator is backing the 76-year-old former vice president. That's unfair, and that's obviously ageist. But both Feinstein and Biden come from a time where they believe in accommodation, where they believe in talking to the other side, where they have Republicans as their close friends, and they believe that something can be accomplished. Whereas there's a new Democratic Party. I mean, we heard that freshman congresswoman from Michigan who let out an expletive about what she's going to do about the impeachment of Donald Trump. But I think there are a lot of Democrats who feel that way, that there's no more being nice, no more being the nice guy. Now, I don't know if that's a successful strategy, but that's what the Democratic Party has to deal with in the next 2 years, the next year and a half. What am I saying? The next year, right, leading up to the Iowa caucuses.
All right. Well, big transition today for the state of California. I think one thing we learned with Jerry Brown coming in for his third and then his fourth term is that he may have been Governor Moonbeam back in the 70s, but you have to look at what's happening in the time with the person and the decisions that are going to have to be made. So Gavin Newsom comes in with an idea about how he was and has been. We do all have to sit and wait and watch and see not only what he says, but more importantly, what he does now that he is about to step into the office.
That is so true. And he also has to remember there is only one Jerry Brown. There's only one George Duke Majan. There's only one Ronald Reagan. You can't worry about what your predecessors did or stood for to judge how you're going to be as governor. You have to be your own person. I suspect that Gavin Newsom will be his own person, and we'll just see how successful he can become.
All right, Ken, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Beth. Happy Inauguration Day.
And back at you. It's Ken Rudin, the political junkie. At 11 today, CAP Radio with KQED will bring you special coverage of the inauguration of Gavin Newsom, including the oath of office, which will happen on the west steps of the Capitol in Sacramento. And somewhere around that area right now is my colleague Ben Adler. So let's check in. Hi, Ben. What's happening around you?
Good morning, Beth. People are very slowly starting to trickle in, but mostly staffers and the like. There are some tests going on the stage. That's the voice you're hearing behind me. I'm sitting at the back in the right-hand corner with our top-notch engineers, Mark Jones and Anthony Van Hook, who have done yeoman's work in getting this set up. And I have a clear view of the stage, and centered on the stage, which is the video board, is the seal of the governor of the state of California, XL40. And that just kind of made it hit home for me yesterday when I was in doing a test, is this really is the new era, the new beginning. The 39th governor and also an earlier governor, Jerry Brown, is done. And California will have its 40th governor for a state with a population of just under 40 million people.
Most of today, Ben, will be about the hello to the new governor as we say goodbye. I want to note that his colorful style of thinking, Governor Jerry Brown's, the way he wrote, the way he spoke, is going to forever stand on its own. And it's been a lot of fun recently to hear the different mashups that you've put together of some of the Brownisms over the years.
Well, thanks. It's been fun to put everything together. Of course, he certainly makes it easy. And we always thought that, you know, with Arnold Schwarzenegger leaving, that, you know, it'd be a change. But I think it's also going to be another change from Jerry Brown to Gavin Newsom. And so as we bid a fond farewell to an entertaining speaker, whatever you think of his politics, let's listen back to his 2013 State of the State Address, a mashup of all the different literary and historical references that he crammed into a single speech.
Oliver Wendell Holmes' Genesis. Then the lean cows ate up the fat cows. The Pharaoh took the advice of Joseph Franklin Roosevelt, a rendezvous with destiny. Remember how California began. King Charles III, Jose de Galvez, Gaspar Portola, flesh of emaciated pack mules, El Camino Real, the King's Highway. Father Sarah, President Lincoln, the Transcontinental Railroad, and land-grant colleges. Montaigne, the great French writer of the 16th century. The Ten Commandments. Quiz bits. William Butler Yeats. The principle of subsidiarity. A little engine that could.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard to follow that. Right. Gavin Newsom, over to you.
Well, I'll add one more, and that is that Latin word for goodbye is valley. So to say something more along the lines of we never can say goodbye, we would have to go into disjunctio numquam aeternus. I don't know, some
you
Latin.
You are a brave woman, Beth, for giving that a try.
I always appreciated every little avenue that he sent us down in research because of what he said and the way he said it. So thank you so much, Ben. You're going to stay with us throughout this hour and then on through the morning, okay?
That's right, yeah.
All right, in whatever language we choose, it is the end of Governor Jerry Brown 1.0, 2.0, and then the future will be continued based at the ranch in Colusa. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Insight on CAP Radio.